Missing Albert Pujols, the offseason's biggest free agent, has not discouraged the Marlins from landing some other big fish from the free agent pond this week. After signing closer Heath Bell to a $27 million three-year contract, they signed starting pitcher and four-time All-Star Mark Burley, late of the White Sox, to a four-year $58 million deal. In their biggest splash, the Marlins signed shortstop Jose Reyes away from the Mets with a contract that will pay the four-time All-Star and 2011 batting champion $106 million over 6 years. Reyes was introduced to the team this week at baseball's winter meetings in Dallas, and he was asked why, besides the money, Miami.
I see the plan that they have. You know, we are the great young talent that they have there in Miami, and I think that's a good opportunity to win. So, and you know, I love to win, man. I don't like to lose.
As of Thursday, the Marlins had spent a total of $191 million on free agents this offseason as they prepare to move into their new Miami stadium in the spring. That's about $20 million more than they've spent on free agents in the past 14 years combined. Here to discuss the extraordinary measures taken this week by the transformative team once singled out for contraction is Phil Latzman of member station WLRN in Miami. Phil, welcome to Only a Game.
Great to be here, Bill.
Why is Miami so willing to splurge all of a sudden?
They're spending like drunken sailfish, aren't they? It's amazing. This is not a baseball town, and the Marlins have been for a long time lobbying for a stadium, and they threaten to move out of town, as this is probably a familiar refrain. The city of Miami and Miami-Dade County built them this new stadium. It's a beautiful edifice rising up in Miami, and now, because they say they have this new stadium, they are flush with cash. They can start spending it because they have been historically cheap.
So the theory is that the stadium alone is going to generate a lot of money, at least over the next several years.
The theory is that the stadium, they're expecting attendance of about 3 million people per season to come to Miami. That's pretty optimistic. And again, this is a fair weather town for sports. This is not the kind of place you're going to have people showing up to watch baseball unless the team wins. So with that formula in mind, they figure, well, now that we've gotten this stadium, we better put a product on the field that people will show up to see. And after keeping the money in their wallets for so long, now they're dishing it out.
By midweek, there had been reports that the Securities and Exchange Commission was investigating the financing of that new stadium. Why?
Well, this is the most interesting thing at all, of all of it. The Securities and Exchange Commission wants to know if the public financing deal that the team negotiated with Miami-Dade County and the city of Miami to build this new Little Havana Stadium was on the up and up. Federal authorities want to look at about $500 million in bonds sold to finance the ballpark and the controversial deal to build the stadium's parking garages. And the SEC wants to know whether the Marlins really needed the public help to build this ballpark. And if the team was less than honest about its financial disclosures. And the Marlins are also said to be getting one of the best deals of any municipality around the country. They've partnered with sports franchises. The city and the county are ponying up to 80% of the total for this ballpark. And it has had a huge amount of political implications here as well. It was the anger over the Marlins ballpark funding and the fact that it was done without a referendum that really got the former mayor recalled in March.
The team recently changed its name from the relatively frumpy Florida Marlins to the much hipper Miami Marlins, and they revamped the logo and the uniform. Have all these changes, along with the free agent signings, energized the team's fan base?
I think so. There's a sense of a novelty here, as it was back in 1993 when the Marlins first started playing. And now, because Miami has basically agreed to build them this new stadium, Miami and Miami-Dade County, they agreed to change the name. And I guess it has a sexier appeal. More people know Miami. It's more location-driven. It's more connected to Latin America. They feel it's easier to market. And I think a lot of people are on board with that. But it's just amazing to see the shift that's been undergone in the past weeks, that the team has all of a sudden become this team that's willing to dish out the money and pay what they can to get these free agents. But the long term prospects is if they don't continue doing that, if they don't continue to win, there's not going to be many people showing up at this new downtown Miami ballpark. That's the real question. Will people show up to see this team if they're not winning, if things don't go well? Will it be an edifice of waste?
Phil Latzman has covered Miami's often bizarre sporting landscape for over 20 years. He hosts Morning Edition on WLRN and his own weekly talk show, The Florida Roundup. Phil, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Bill, it's been fun.
It's 19 minutes past the hour. Imagine a tightrope walker pacing along a wire strung above a crowded square in Brussels. Don't worry, he won't fall. He's a professional trained at the Brussels Circus School. Now imagine that the tightrope walker has been joined by 29 other students of the circus school, all on the wire at the same time. They might fall. I mean, if only one of them goes hurtling to the bricks below, won't the rope swing wildly to and fro, potentially dumping everybody? That's what made establishing the unofficial record for tightrope walkers on a single wire simultaneously so tense last weekend. Well, that and the fact that there were 100 jugglers juggling things under the tightrope walkers, any one of whom might have been crushed to dust. Take it.